Welcome back to our Canadian Corner here on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, Marty Biron of TSN After 6. We've got the Impact this week at 7. And then the Raptors, can they really do this? Not tonight. In Cleveland, Game 5 tonight right here on TSN 690. And quietly I dress in the world, completely
possessed by the human mind. McDavid to the Sheen, back to McDavid, and scores! Connor McDavid slides it home, and Canada's taking a 1-0 lead! Just like that! Scramble draw. Granlin trying to pick it out. It's scooped up by Marchand. Feeds it ahead for Duchesne. It's back-to-back gold medals for Canada at the World Hockey Championship.
Yeah, definitely. That's the first time I've heard it. Watched a bunch of tournaments hearing those two call games, so it's interesting to hear it, knowing that I was actually part of the game.
Mike Matheson of Pointe Claire with us about an hour ago on listening to Gord Miller and Ray Ferraro describe a gold medal performance that he was a part of. Welcome back, Gord Miller. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. You, Mitch?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. Beautiful day.
I feel like a museum piece now.
Come on, you must get that. Well, if you don't get it now, it's coming in the next few years. I grew up watching you.
Yeah, well, the funny one was, the Jordan Everly goal, the World Junior, is the one that people talk about the most. And I was walking my dogs. True story, I was walking my dogs about 4 years ago, and these kids were playing road hockey, middle of July, and this one kid does, like, the forehand, backhand roof, right? And they all kind of look at me, there's about eight kids, and they all looked at me, and the one kid says, come on, say it. And I said, can you believe it? And they just roared. They loved it. So.
Well, that's like P.K. Subban getting out of his car to play road hockey with a couple of guys. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Are you available for weddings and bar mitzvahs?
No, I've done a few answering machines. That's about it.
Oh, yeah? Gord Miller is Siri. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. Siri, which way to the house? How the hell should I know?
How many times, I think I asked you before you left, how many times have you been to Russia now?
That was my 8.
And?
It's fantastic. There's lots of hassles in Russia. One of my favorite moments was taking a taxi from the train station in Moscow to the hotel. And on Google Maps, it said it was a 30-minute drive and a 12-minute walk.
Okay. So, yeah.
The traffic's just, I don't think, until you go to Russia, I don't think you can really understand where they're coming from and what they've been through and what they're still going through. They went from total state control of everything to nothing. It's every man for himself.
Yeah. And so has the mood, how would you describe it there now compared to most recently?
I would say things are improving in Russia. However, I would say that the sanctions imposed by the Western countries as a result of Ukraine are having a real debilitating effect because their currency is worth half what it was 4 years ago. So for a country that imports, fruits and vegetables from Spain and other goods, it's really tough. There's just such an iron grip on their government that nothing's going to change. But when Putin came out, it was really interesting when Putin came out at the gold medal game and no one knew he was there, there was this audible gasp through the crowd, like this amazing gasp through the whole crowd.
Yeah, I mean, like millions of Canadians, I was watching you describe that, and it was quite something seeing him just kind of appear almost out of nowhere, Gord. But I'm curious, like, I hear things like polls say he's got a 90% approval rating and his population's really happy when he invades another country and adds territory. Is there any real way to gauge actual public opinion over there?
No, and I think that there's still a culture of people being afraid to speak out against the government because bad things happen to people that do it. Look at the Russian doping story. The doctor who oversaw the program is in Los Angeles and hiding. His two underlings have disappeared.
Do you get a chance to talk to people there who are? Yeah. Okay. So you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
It's
I think it's hard to. When we talk about World War II, we talk about D-Day and we talk about all these heroic things. We don't talk about Stalingrad and the siege of Leningrad and the 28 million people they lost. And there's a deep feeling in Russia that the world is against them. always has been against them, doesn't understand them, and doesn't appreciate them. And there's an element of truth to it.
It's just, we've got to differentiate, like, the Kremlin, the military-industrial complex, the
right.
oil billionaires,
right.
Gazprom, and the Russian people. Like, and it's sometimes just tough to do that.
Right, and so Ray Farrar and I were walking down the street one day, and there was a woman walking, her two little girls, and Ray made the point, like, all she wants is a better life for her kids. How is she so different than any other parent in any other country in the world?
Yeah,
it's just a lot tougher. It's a very tough place to live.
So let me get, you know, it's difficult to get back to what happened on the ice here, but Mike Matheson, would it be fair to say that his performance surprised you? I'm not going to ask you about any more Canadians because we've done that, but Mike Matheson is one of us, and we're proud of the year that he had.
I don't think that it certainly didn't surprise Ray Ferraro. Ray did some games in the Islanders Florida series and wasn't surprised at all. I had seen him play before, was really impressed by him. I had heard good things about him. Kind of a late bloomer. I know Pierre was really upset a few years ago when he wasn't invited to the Canadian junior camp.
He just reiterated that. Yep.
Yeah. But you know, I didn't hear any scouts at the time saying he should have been. You know, just a guy who was a real late bloomer, but he can really skate. He's got good offensive instincts. He's a really good player. He had a heck of a tournament. There were six or seven Canadian players who played really well, and he was one of them.
So what are your feelings now that this is over, the World Hockey Championship? As far as NHL players are concerned, the next one's the World Cup, and then we'll get to the Olympics in a sec after that.
Well, I don't think they're going to the Olympics. They just, everything that I've heard, I had a long talk with Rennie Fizel, the IHF president, over the weekend there, and it just doesn't sound like they're going. It doesn't. First of all, the NHL doesn't really want to go. And then the IOC is throwing up these, you know, they're not going to pay for the insurance or the travel anymore. It just doesn't sound to me like there's any sort of momentum to go, which is too bad because I really think they should go. And the players want to go and the fans want them there. But it's, as always, it's not about them.
So we kind of heard that this was rumbling, right, for a while. And now it's actually at the surface.
Yeah, talking to Federation heads over there, you know, most of them are saying they've never been more pessimistic about NHL players going back to the Olympics. And, the NHL wants the World Cup to be the showcase event. Marco Sturm was pretty funny. The German coach said, how could you call that international hockey? Two of the teams aren't even countries.
Right.
You know.
Is it possible that they eventually change and go back to countries instead of the under 23 gimmick?
I think it's possible. I'll be interested to see how this World Cup does. I've heard, you know, anecdotally that ticket sales aren't great in Toronto. Long way from sold out. Lots of packages still available. Once you have it there, then where do you go? Okay, so the 2016 World Cup happens. Where do you go in 2020? You think you're going to sell it out in Montreal?
Well, why not? You don't think? What gives you reason to doubt that it would sell?
International hockey has never sold well in Montreal.
Yeah, wait until you see the World Junior Tournament in December. I think they learned their lesson.
Well, but I'm just saying, like, okay, so have it in Montreal. Okay, then where?
then we go to Ottawa.
And you think it's going to sell there?
I don't know. Then we just keep going. Well, if you're not going to have the Olympics, you got to have something, right? Every 4 years, what are you going to have?
Right. But what I'm saying is that the Olympics make that tournament bigger because you become part of something that's bigger. If you're just selling a hockey tournament in September, I mean, I remember being in Edmonton in 1984 for the Canada Cup final, and there were 12,000 people in the building.
I'm with you on this, Gord. I would love to see the Olympics, but if what I thought was positioning and hard bargaining is now, it seems, very close to being, unfortunately, reality.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know it's hard bargaining. I just don't think the NHL wants to go.
Now, Gord, I've read this, and I'm sure you have too, that they would potentially skip Korea but go to China because of the size of the market. Is that possible?
Well, I think at that point, that's where the IOC and the IHF might step in and say, you can't cherry pick your Olympic. You're either going or you're not.
What was your favorite? Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
You can't say we're going to these ones and not those ones.
What was your favorite moment of this tournament?
There were a lot of them. Two that stand out were the Hungarian fans singing the anthem to their team after a loss. The players came over and lined up, and the fans sang the anthem. I thought that was extraordinary. And there's a picture I put it on my Twitter feed of the Canadian players celebrating after the gold medal. And I keep hearing, oh, it's a world championship, you know, and who cares? Everything else. And you see the look of these players' faces.
Yeah, you got more fans. You got more fans there, Gord.
What's that?
Yeah, we can hear you have more fans there, wherever you are.
No, some guy. I'm standing outside a tennis club. My daughter's at a tennis lesson. This guy's yelling.
Yeah.
He's not yelling at me. So those are my two favorites. I just think that, you know, when you see those players go to these tournaments and, like, Brendan Gallagher and Brad Marchand playing table tennis together every day is hysterical.
Brendan Gallagher was on the Montreal Forum earlier today with Tony Marinaro and Knuckles Nylund, and Tony wanted him to take it to the next level.
You should drop the gloves right away. Right away, just drop the gloves. Orchestrated, just drop the gloves. Why not? Go for it.
It was something we talked about, so it was discussed. We might have to.
Would you take him?
I can't lose. He won't shut up about it, so I have to win that one.
It's got a little more life to it, apparently.
Yes, yeah, so they're great, you know, and I think that's the great thing about that game. You know, you can be teammates one day and opponents the next, and you just shake the other guy's hand and wish him well the next time. And I think it's the great thing about the sport. I'm always amazed, you know, I think I've said this to you before, but, you know, at the end of a hard-fought playoff series in hockey, they line up and shake each other's hands. And I remember, you know, a World Series Game 7 a few years ago when the series ended, like, they just sat there in each other's dugouts and didn't – like, why wouldn't you go over and shake the other guy's hand? I just think that's one of the best things about hockey is that you can bash each other's faces in for seven games, and when it's over, you shake the other guy's hand.
Welcome back home. Another, you know, super effort by everybody at TSN. It was great watching and listening to you and Ray specifically and the whole crew there.
A lot of fun. Paris next year, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to try to tag along.
A guy from Hockey Canada said, we normally invite players to the World Championship. Next year, we're going to take applications.
Thanks, Gord.
See you guys.
Gold medal game, record average audience, 1.56 million viewers, TSN and RDS, and it peaked 4.6 million unique Canadian viewers watched Team Canada's gold medal win as they closed out the victory with that empty net goal. Thanks again to Gord Miller and Ray Ferraro. Happy to have them on this show. Ray every Tuesday and Thursday, Gord every Wednesday. When we come back, ahead of Marty Biron, Gallo's going to throw some. He's going to throw some things around. You said you should have seen the look on your face.
UFC sounds like this.